Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Meet Evan Turk, artist, illustrator, storyteller. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 271 of the podcast with Evan Turk, author-illustrator of The Storyteller. Evan wowed us with his illustrator debut 2 years ago on Grandfather Gandhi, written by Arun Gandhi and Bethany Hegedus. He recently made his author-illustrator debut with a masterful picture book that is both an original folktale and an interpretation of his visits to Morocco. It is almost without question the most visually stunning picture book I have seen this year, and it is most deserving of some time in front of your eyes. But in the meantime, I hope you'll enjoy my conversation with Evan about his process, his journey, and what resulted. Here's episode number 271 of the podcast with Evan Turk. Welcome back to the podcast, Evan Turk. I know you know how excited I am to talk to you.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be back.
Evan, I've known you now for, it's been near 3 years.
Yeah.
2 years, 3 years, whatever that Books of Wonder event was. Whenever Grandfather Gandhi came out, I suppose 2 years.
I think it might have been three. Yeah, okay. It's been a long time.
It's been a while. The reason why I bring that up, one, is because of the great praise and love that I think all of us in the children's literature world felt for you and your work in Grandfather Gandhi. But I also bring it up, as we talked about before recording, because since that time that I've known you, and before that, you've been working on The Storyteller, the book that, as of recording this, it is out in the world. And when people hear this, they can hopefully find it at wherever they find their books. But I'm so excited for you that how long you've been talking about this and working on it, and it's out, and it's a work of art, Evan. It's beautiful.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a long labor of love, but it's exciting that it's finally out. Yeah.
I bet it is. You, when I first started talking to you and like knowing who you were and looking at your portfolio stuff from art school, because you went to the New School, right?
If I remember. Yeah, Parsons,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Which always makes me think of Project Runway, because that's the kind of person I am. Anyway, that's the way I remember you. But it's been since then knowing that you've been working on this story, and also then where I was going is the art that you had on your portfolio. So much of that design aesthetic and that voice as an artist is present front and center in this book. And it's beautiful. I really like the way that you draw people, and I like the way that you position people. I think, I don't know how else to say it other than you are drawing from such a beautiful place of creativity and from your imagination that I think people that are, you draw without fear. There, that's what I'm going to try to say. I feel like there are other people that when they try to draw, it ends up being perhaps too posed or too, it feels a little too deliberate. And this, there's so much that's emotive in your art and so much that is juxtaposed in a beautiful way that made it very hard, I have to say, for me personally to be reading this story because my eyes just wanted to look and have the story told to me. And I think that's sort of the heart of this story. So well done, man.
Well, thank you. That's a lot of very nice things.
You're going to have to just interrupt me during this conversation because I've kind of been a blubbering fool over this book. And this is to say I got it maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago and I can't put to words what I feel about this. I mean, Evan, this is okay. Just to spare the superfluousness, but to talk straight to you, it's a masterpiece, this work you've done. I mean, it's beautiful. It's you, and it's incredible.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, I need you to tell everyone from your words, because you've sort of given me this pitch before too. What is this story, the storyteller? What, you know, what's your book talk for it?
Yes. So the story of the storyteller is, it takes place in Morocco, and there's this very long 1,000-year-old tradition of public storytelling in Morocco. And it's in danger of dying out. And in the story, one young boy inadvertently becomes an apprentice to one of these master storytellers. And he uses the stories that he learns to save his city from this encroaching sandstorm that's threatening them. So it's kind of just about the power of storytelling, and it, specifically in Morocco, but also generally in the world, and how powerful stories can be when you're listening and how powerful they can be told to.
And it's one of the unique design elements of the story. By the way, beautifully told. Well done. You are pitching like a pro.
Woo!
You've only had the book out for like a day and already like you've got it down. Well done, man. But one of the elements that I was excited to see because I had known you had worked on it is that this is a four-layer story. We sort of go a storyteller telling about a character who tells a story about a character who tells a story about a character, which is neat because I feel like in this way, I'm going to just have to talk from the American audience vantage point because that's all I have the experience in. But for me, it felt like where if I knew a culture and all of their the stories that they tell to as part of their cultures, I might see how different stories connect. What you've done here for us is that you've sort of built in these stories all in one, in that beautiful way of the story of the yarn and the story of the boy and the story of the storyteller and the story of the city and the weaver. There's all of these separate stories that are brought together for us in one place. And I mean, in that way too, it's a story of a storyteller and it's a story of the importance of stories. So I get it. I get that all of these are connected, but every time I found myself in the story, which is what you do as a listener going, oh, I wonder what the significance is of that blue string, of that blue yarn. There was an opportunity to say, well, that's a story for another day. And then we heard it and there were just sort of every question that came up became another story. And I like the way that you pulled that off. I like the way that again, reading the text of this made it very hard not to draw my eyes to the illustrations the whole time. it was something I have to imagine was a real treat for my son to look at and take in while he was hearing those words.
Oh, you read it to him? Did he like it?
I've read it to him 2 or 3 times and he likes it a lot. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. So a lot of the idea for the story came out of 1001 Nights, which is essentially the same idea where the Scheherazade is telling her stories to delay her impending doom from her husband and just telling these stories within stories within stories so that he's always intrigued to hear how the last one ends. So is that kind of an idea? And then I read it to a group of kids for the first time a couple weeks ago, and it was so much fun to hear them sang the refrain along with me, like every time that I would get to the well, that's a story for another day. The kids would say it along with me, and they started getting excited and figuring out where the story was going. It was really cute. So that was the first time that I've seen it in action. It was exciting.
Well, I think fun for them too to know that it's not a story for another day for them.
Yeah,
they get to keep hearing it, but there's that exciting sort of pause there for Jonah, and I think for me too. And I'm thankful that you shared this in that beautiful article on Publishers Weekly. I know how intrigued he was by the indigo in this story, in the art, and more so too the technique of, you have a lot of design sort of beneath your paint, design that appears within your illustration. It's not just this block is for this ink and here's the outline for the, I mean, I don't even know what I'm trying to say other than you've all of your, well, here's how what I'm trying to say. And I'll be I don't know, as clear as mud, I suppose. The way your art is pulled off with the water moving through, with the bird, with sort of this the spirit of the story and of the water and everything traveling through the story, you've made everything very fluid in your illustration. There's no perhaps clear end to where buildings and people and everything is blocked off. There's just sort of there's a flow to everything that it all, I don't, other than to say nothing looks blocked off, that everything is sort of, I picture in storytelling the way that this image comes to your mind, the way that different things pop up, different sizes and different,
like layers
with different things. Clarity. Yeah. Some things over here have color and some things are meant for our eyes to be drawn to. And there's that effect in your art.
Yeah. I think the, one of the things that I really like to, so two of the central stories are about carpet weaving and how that's really kind of another, method of storytelling in Morocco, because the public storytellers are men. And then the ones who weave the carpets are most often women. And so they're weaving their own stories into the carpets. And so that kind of idea of how stories are like weaving. And so throughout the book, especially towards the end, I wanted everything to kind of be woven together. Like you'll see in the when it's revealed who the final narrator is at the end, you'll see the crowd around him kind of looks like the designs of the carpets, where they're all woven together in different layers. So that was something that I thought was so beautiful about the way that Moroccan carpets are made and created.
Yes. too, as well, that you, in your design, the frames that you have around the illustration sort of play into the depth with which we're in our story.
Yeah, yeah. So each story has its own color and it has its own
the text
drawing
color,
style.
Right.
Yeah. And then the border color too. So the first story that the storyteller, well, the overall story has the yellow border. And you'll notice that it starts off when there's a lot of,
I was going to say it starts off all sand. It starts off all yellow.
Well, it starts off all blue actually on the page with, back long, long ago when there were a lot of storytellers, it's all blue.
Wait, hold on. I almost had a moment to say, do you notice that? But then I was like, wait, he made this book.
Yeah, and then on the next page, when everybody stops listening to the storytellers, then all of the blue, all of the water is gone. And so you'll see it start to come back as the water appears, or the blue appears in each one of the stories. You'll see it start to appear in that story's border. So then the second story is green, the third story is brown, and the fourth story is black, and they each get progressively bluer as it goes through. So it's kind of like a way to make you feel, like you might not pick it up on a conscious level, but you'll feel which story you're in because you'll see so many frames around you and the colors will change. And so hopefully you kind of pick up on that, hopefully.
I think again, there's going to be these different elements that every different reader picks up on, much like when you hear a story told, we all pick up on different things. That's sort of the way you connect with story. But the fact too, that there's so much left to come back and to be explored is a real treat. And the detail, again, that you pour into the design, the patterns that you draw, how much I feel like you're imitating the carpet weaving by the lines that you have running throughout your illustration. It's just, I mean, it's magnificent.
Oh, thank you.
Do you, when you were designing this book, so I'm going to jump to Morocco in a minute, because I read about how you and your husband ended up in Morocco, and I can't wait to hear about that. But I, before we get there, again, I've known you working on this book, but how much has this story presented itself to you the way that we see it now? Or what did it look like at its origin? Did it start off with an actual story? And what brought you, why tell a story about storytelling?
Talking about when my husband and I first went to Morocco, or should I talk about that later?
You talk about whatever you want.
I'll just talk. But
I'm just gonna keep laying my head on my hand here, going
But yeah, so it started. I was at a drawing class with a group that I take classes with, and we go on location and get assignments and things like that. And I've been taking classes for like 8 years now, or something like that, with them. But one of the places we always go is Disney World, and so it actually began in Epcot, Morocco, which is kind of funny. But
it is, right?
Yeah, but the neat thing about Disney World, at least the way that it was created, is that it all began as authentic. Yeah, you know, so they hired the best craftsmen from the government of Morocco sent their best craftsmen to create these places, and everything there is authentic. So if you start something there, you can follow it later. But so it started there, and then we ended up planning a trip to Morocco. And then while I was reading and researching before the trip, I read this book called The Last Storytellers, written by Richard Hamilton. And he's a British journalist who went down to Morocco and learned about the plight of these master storytellers, and started writing their stories down so that they could be preserved, even if these men didn't have apprentices. And so after reading that book, I thought, that's an interesting idea. And then I ended up writing the story at some point on the trip while we were there. But it wasn't really that different from the final story. I was looking at it for the Publisher's Weekly thing. I had to dig through my old scans and everything, and the story was pretty much the same. Like there's a few changes, but generally it was the same plot line. I just kind of had jotted it down, and with a couple of thumbnail drawings in my sketchbook, and it survived, I guess. But
yeah, it's great though that you started in this case. You started with a story, and that the art, albeit that it was probably growing in your head, that it did come from the story first.
Yeah.
So you have that then. You've got the story. It sort of holds up throughout this process. You had the story before you went to Morocco?
No, I think... I was trying to remember. I'm pretty sure, based on the chronological sketchbook, that I wrote it at some point during the trip. And then when I got back, I was actually... I took the trip in the middle of working on the art for Grandfather Gandhi.
Okay.
And then when I got back, I wrote the story. And it generally stayed the same. I mean, the art is the main thing that changed over the course of the past, three or four years.
Okay, so how
until
often
the book came out.
How often do you in this group go to other countries to study art, to do these trips?
I mean, like, I'd love to do it as much
I mean,
as possible.
Right?
this was so we tend to try and get like a pretty good trip, like once a year, to see if we can, because we're both freelance, so we have a little bit of flexibility in terms of being able to go on a longer trip sometimes. So sometimes we're just going on a trip just to go on a trip and have a nice time. But
Evan, I want you to go on trips all the time. If what we get out is the storyteller, let me just be clear. I will kickstart the heck out of that. Let's make it happen.
That would be awesome.
But just seeing that, I mean, I know that. Not everyone, as an author or an illustrator, often gets to travel, but sometimes things like this happen where you're affected by the people you meet, by the culture that you experience, you're affected in a way that you're able to, or the right kind of person is able to mold their experience into some form that can be shared with others and understood with others. Because I think I'm sure you had a profound experience there that goes so deep that there's nothing we could even talk about that would come close to it. But the fact that you did take your emotion and the things you saw and the techniques you noticed and you poured them into this story, in that way it transports us there as well.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that, I don't know, for me personally, it's just everything's so exciting for me. So, you know, I talk a lot and I can't help kind of, but want to share it with people. So it's partially selfish where it's just like, oh, I really want to go draw this. So, and then I'm going to, you know, hopefully somebody will help me make a book with it. But, and then I'll drive my husband crazy because, you know, when we're on a trip and we're trying to have a nice relaxing time and I'll be like, but I have to draw some more. And it's like, or we could just relax because he likes to draw too. But, you know, I'll get in a really bad mood and it's like, no, this drawing sucks. And
this is awesome. Yeah, so, I'm picturing you like not sneaking out your phone at the dinner table, but like your sketch pad. You just want to, do you see that person there though? I want to skip some. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Goodness.
It's fun.
Okay, so you've got this great line, the way you draw, the shape to your characters, the way you position. I'm always picturing like their hands and their faces, that there's always this movement, this sort of like thrusting forward, this pull and this push with the people that you draw. And I saw it with your art before, and I see it so strongly here now that there's, I don't know, that there's like energy coming out from the people and the objects in your art. And I saw it in the sketches that you do too. Where does this come from? This is just your style. You found your voice. This is what it is.
No, I think, well, thank you. First of all, that's a very nice thing.
It's awesome. It's amazing. It looks, I mean, the closest thing I can draw, comparison to is some graffiti art that I've seen before, like some street art that just draws people with like disproportionate heads and things. I don't know how else to say it other than it's beautiful, but I've only ever really seen it occur in this like one setting in that way. So and the fact that I see it in your art, wherever that comes from, wherever that inspiration comes from, it's really cool. I don't know if there's an artist that you look to or if you discovered your style.
No, I think, one of the most important things. So the classes that I take, it's with a group called Del Vero Academy, and it's two teachers that I started with at Parsons and continue to learn from now. And it's a location-based school, and so we're always out there drawing people moving, drawing things as they're happening. And the whole idea behind that is that you really start to hopefully eventually capture life as it's happening in your drawing, and that's always your goal. Is, you know, your goal might not be to get a perfectly rendered,
yes,
you know, can or something, but it's, you're trying to get the expression and the movement. And, you know, it's something that whenever I see that in someone else's artwork, I'm like, oh my God, you know, look at that. And it's something that you just kind of respond to viscerally because it feels like it's alive to you. So that's something that's why I say thank you. That's such a, you know, it's a great thing for me to hear because I think that's something that I'm always struggling with in my own work, is trying to get closer and closer to what it feels like to draw on location when working on a book in the studio or something like that.
But I like that. I can pull that feeling out of there. The feeling of trying to capture something while it's happening, the essence of it. I can feel that strongly. That's great.
Yeah. And I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah. Go on.
No, I was gonna say, so what about all of the patterns, the shapes, the drawings within drawings? I think about like anytime you see that the blue, the indigo appear in this book, or any clothing, anything like that, there's always this like beautiful patterning that you maintain.
Yeah, I mean, most of the patterns are taken from Moroccan carpets, and there's kind of
Oh yeah, like you took real samples.
Yeah, well, just cool. Looking at carpets and kind of adapting them for drawing. But there's,
yeah, but still,
they have a lot of very deep symbolism and personal symbolism a lot of times in the carpet. So there's not necessarily one symbol that means one exact thing to every single person. So I kind of tried to come up with my own language based off of that in terms of what certain things mean. Like the I'm trying to look for an example now. Like for instance, the mother and daughter in the first story, you can tell that hopefully that they're mother and daughter because they have the same pattern on their headscarves. So it's trying to connect them visually. Or if you look at the women weavers, each one of them has a different pattern, but the old woman's pattern on her headscarf is all of leaves because she has kind of the creation story as her story. So it's all about growth,
right.
And things growing out of one another. And if you look, that the pattern on her headscarf is the same as her henna tattoos and her hand in the fourth story. So you see what I mean?
I'm looking at it now. Oh, I'm getting it. I get it all. It's those details that, yeah, I see it.
So it's trying to connect things visually a little bit. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I think the subtleness of the details are what makes it just sort of, I don't even know how else to say it other than like believable. Like I look at it and go, well, yeah, those two are related. They must be, they just look like they fit together, but it's because you're designing them to have that continuity in that way.
Yeah. And hopefully you pick up on it subliminally as you're looking at things, and it makes the story clearer, hopefully.
the different media that you use to make this, the inks, mm-hmm. the is it pencil, the whatever it is, there's I like the way that your ink, you can see the overlap in the ink, you see these dark spots, and I like that. It just feels like I can see your brush in this art, and I can see the paint, you know, dripping from the brush in places. It's that there's a realness to it, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean that's probably a selfish thing for me too. Like when I look at other people's art, I like to be able to see that someone made it. Like that's always something that's exciting for me, to look at another artist's work and be like, oh wow, you can tell. You know, that's where he picked up his pen or whatever it is. I tend to respond to artwork that's like that, where it's freer and you can see somebody creating something in it.
That's great. Evan, this is just, I mean, clearly I'm at a loss for words. I just don't really know how else to say how beautiful this book is. It's, I mean, every page, there's every illustration. As I've been talking, I'm sure it's picking up on the microphone. I keep flipping the pages till it goes, oh yeah, oh, I see that. Yeah, tell me more, Evan. it's just really beautiful. And I feel like it's, for me, it was a beautiful way to experience another culture. I love reading folktales as it is. But to have, as I think a lot of artists do, to respect the culture in your art while you're telling a story from that culture is a beautiful thing. And I think that what you're giving back to the people of Morocco in this book and to the storytellers, these people that you respect, I think is a really beautiful thing here too. And I wonder if you would mind if I just read a small excerpt from the story for other people to get a feeling. The first time that I noticed that there were deliberate different frames in this story was this page, where the storyteller, the boy, has met the storyteller and is holding his empty brass bowl. And as the storyteller is speaking, the green frame comes out of his mouth as if, you know, as the yarn, and you're telling a yarn, it's coming out. And anyway, it reads, "The old man's voice rumbled like a spring from deep within the earth. And he began, 'Not so long ago, there was a terrible drought in the nearby villages. All the rivers and streams ran dry, yet one family always had enough, and they shared with anyone who asked. At first the neighbors were grateful, but soon they became suspicious and greedy. One cunning neighbor decided to sneak her young daughter into the family's house to learn their secret. And that's also the page that you were talking about, the design in the headscarf. To pair the
you've got a great reading voice.
Oh, thank you. I do it for a living.
Yeah, I guess so. You got some practice. Yeah.
It's also my chance to break from the ums and the ridiculous smile on my face when I'm talking to people about their art and their work, to be able to bring myself back into the story. So it was an honor for me to get to read your work to you, Evan, and it's an honor to be able to hold this book in my hands. You've done a really beautiful work of art here, and I am excited for other people to lift it up, to hold it, to, I think I mean this word the way that I'm saying it, I will, to have children and readers of all ages scrutinize your art, because it was in looking more closely and in allowing myself even more time to spend looking at this art that I really was mesmerized by it. And in that way, lost myself in the story and in the storytelling. And so the way that an author or illustrator, the way that an artist pulls off through many, many edits and through working with art directors and editors and all the people that you work with, the way that one manages to pull off such a free-flowing, expressive story as you have here, I think is truly the magic and the talent of the artist. So kudos to you, Evan. I respect you even more deeply having gotten to read this book.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, before we go, to end the note, not on me sending, Cupid arrows up in the air over the storyteller. Although I do have to tell you that of all of your spreads, one of my favorite spreads is in that creation story of the woman, when we go to the deepest layer of all the stories being told. So when people look at this book, this is what I want them to see. At that deepest layer, when we have the woman with all of the threads who creates a whole kingdom from what she weaves, the way that the carpets are leading out and the different designs on them and just the different things that each represents, it was something that I got stuck on that page a lot, probably every time.
And that was one of the most fun ones to do too.
That was great. I remember being at Books of Wonder and getting to see you brought one or two pieces from Grandfather Gandhi, getting to see it up close, right? And to see that for Grandfather Gandhi, the collage work that you had done wasn't flat at all, that there were a lot of parts that bumped up quite a bit because of the yarn you used and things like that. And this spread in particular was one that I really enjoyed getting to look at up close. And that to me is why picture books in print are such a beautiful thing, being able to hold them and be up close with them. Mm-hmm. It's really nice. But to, again, here I go down this, we could talk for another 2 hours about how I feel about this, but let's go to, back to Morocco. Tell me, not just the times that your husband had to say, "Hey, over here, look at me, put the sketchbook down," but what is a moment or a person, a memory or two that stuck with you, Evan, that you think will probably just continue sticking with you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them, and I think, I mean, obviously, I'm not Moroccan, so that it feels like somewhat of an imposition to tell a story about them, but I hope that and so far, everyone who's read it recognizes that it comes from a position of how much I'm excited by their culture and respect and all of that. And I think there's been so many times that they're just the most welcoming people, and like their greeting that they have for everyone, that it translates into English to just be, you're welcome. So they say that all the time to everyone when they pass, like, oh, you're welcome. And you feel so welcome everywhere. Like I was in, I was drawing some kids on the street on my second trip there. I was just kind of hanging out, and I asked, can I draw your portrait? And so all the kids started crowding around me to get their portraits drawn. And then after I was done, one teenage boy was just like, oh, would you like to come back to my house for lunch? And I was like, oh, I don't want to impose. But then he was like, oh, no, you're going to come back. So I went back to his house, and his mom his parents were there, his little sister was there, and his mom made some snacks for us, and we were sitting there eating and just kind of chatting. Then we played video games in his house for like 20 minutes and just talked about, like, it was his number one dream to come to New York and to bring his girlfriend to New York. That was his number one goal. And just kind of the moment of, you know, I wasn't drawing and no one was trying to sell anything or get anything out of it. More, we were just kind of sitting and hanging out. I feel like that was one of the experiences that will definitely stick with me.
That's great. Where you got to just be there. You were present.
Yeah. Because sometimes it's hard not to be a tourist, you know, even if you're trying not to be one. Yeah, so that was nice.
Well, again, I'm glad that you are in our world, Evan, and that you have this voice that you do with your box of art tools and art supplies, and that you share them with us the way you do. I want to end with giving you the last word, and we talked about this ahead of time, that yes. Knowing that I'm not in school now, but we'll be there all too soon, and I'll look forward to seeing those children, and I know that you will be doing things over the summer, seeing a lot of kids, so I'm sake of them, I'm going to see a library full of children tomorrow morning or soon. What message, Evan, would you like for me to bring to them from you?
All right. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. So I think the thing that I would like kids to take away from this would be that I hope that they go and ask someone, probably an older person, maybe a grandparent or someone, to tell them a story, and that you really listen, because I think that that's something that, myself included, we don't always do that much anymore, is just to sit and listen to someone tell a story. And then also for the kids to tell their own stories too, because I think whether it's a story you make up or whether it's a story that you hear from someone that you want to retell, whatever it is, I think it's important to just keep telling stories and to practice that. And if you want to send me an email with your story, you can. My email address is online. So that is my answer.
This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 250 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if the episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook and Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, Beth Kephart shares This is the Story of You, a young adult novel so beautiful it begged to be read aloud. See you then. And thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.